Praise you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today and we acknowledge all the good things that you have done for us. Lord, open our minds, open our eyes as we prayed, Lord, and as we sang to you today, Lord, that we may, Lord, receive understanding, receive revelation, receive, Lord, wisdom, so that we can appropriate the things that you so graciously have provided for us. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us, Lord. And we just thank you above all things, you know, for Jesus and the Word. They give us a way to you, Lord. If you give us understanding, they give us what we need to be able to connect with you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So today we are going to look at God's unconditional love. That is such an important thing to understand because religion doesn't have that. They say that it's true, but you know the way they operate with the way generally religion works is that, you know, God loves everybody. I mean, it's pretty clear, you know, John 3:16 wants to, you know, love extended to everybody in the world. And that shows the love of God that is ready to forgive us for anything that we had done before we knew him, in which we really didn't care for him. We didn't bother even thinking about him. Sometimes we even were critical about people that worshipped him. Okay, but he still loved us even at that time. But then people get saved and suddenly the whole thing changes. And then you start thinking that for God to bless you, you had to do something that he pleases. You had to straighten up yourself. You had to be obedient. You had to do all the things that you need to do to be able to deserve his blessings. And that's not what the Word says. And we're going to see scriptures over scripture. I don't think I can cover them all today. I can just touch some. But that's not the way it is. You don't change. God does not change when we get saved. He always operates in the same way. And the way we get saved is the way we walk after we are saved, by faith, not by works. Works, how many hours did you pray this week? Is that was enough? You think that pleased God? How much time you spend reading the Bible this week? Do you think that pleases God? When are you known to know when your God is going to be pleased for the things you do? No matter what you do, is never good enough. So you're going to stay in condemnation because you believe that you had to earn God's approval. When instead he made it very clear that the same way he reached your salvation when you were unsaved is the same way as you walk after that you had to do, you operate in the same way. He deals with you in the same way. And it's based, the way he deals with you is not based on your performance. See, that was the problem in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, your performance counted because there was not, Jesus had not accomplished yet the things he did. And so, you know, you had to do something to appease God. Now, some people that understood enough and they were not operating according to the law of the Old Testament and they were connected with God, understood that. And David said, you know, blessed the one that God does not impute to you your sin. How is that possible? Well, that's the way it's possible, because what was going to happen after when Jesus came? See, but we cannot get anything from God if we have a performance-based Christianity. It's not our performance. It's our trust in Him that qualifies us. Praise the Lord. See, we cannot have a relationship that functions with God or anybody else properly if it's just performance based. You know, if you're a parent and you have children, you know that they don't do everything right. Do you? Do you know that? Absolutely. They are messed up. They had to, you know, and, you know, does that make you love them less? If that makes you love them less, then you really don't love them, you know, because really are just your expectations are more important than love for them in your relationship. And especially if you talk to them that way. Oh, if you do that, I don't love you anymore. That's really bad. The worst things you can ever do. Do you think God is going to do that with you? I mean, if it's bad for us that we are messed up in ourselves, don't you think it would be much worse even for God? Oh, is love? And love is not, see, we are used to, in the world, you know, people respond to us according to what we do to them. So we are kind of trained to think that way. Our friend, if somebody's a real friend, you know, is going to accept you the way you are. Otherwise, he's not a real friend. And so he's not going to do that. Now, okay, think about the parable of the prodigal son. The father gave him what he asked. He let him go wherever he went to mess up his life and to ruin himself until he got to his senses and said, the servant of my father is better than what I'm getting now here, you know, feeding pigs. And he said, I'm going to go back home. And what happened? You know, as he was going in, the father was waiting for him. This is a representation of the way God is with us. Now, certainly he's not pleased, or he's not, he doesn't like to see that we do wrong thing. What I'm saying does not justify us doing the wrong thing. But, you know, no matter what, you're going to do the wrong thing anyway. I mean, you may work really hard, but if you work hard because otherwise you're going to be punished, you're not going to be very successful. But if you work hard to do the right thing because you love the Father, because you love God, then you're going to be much more successful, much more consistent in what you're doing. And you're going to see, you know, things happening to you that are going to demonstrate that the love of God, you know, essentially, you know, you don't do so much to get blessed. You don't get more blessed by God doing the right thing. The only way that you are blessed by God is by faith. Faith, okay, is what he wants from us. Trusting him and believing in him. That's what makes the difference. That's what produces the blessings in us. That's the way we receive God's grace. We do not receive God's grace according to the holiness we have. The holiness we have is the good work that results from us connecting with God and allowing God to work through us, because he is the one producing the holiness. We cannot make ourselves holy. Now, there are plenty of scriptures on that. If we think in terms of Old Testament teaching, then we are going to get really messed up, and Jesus came to show us that. Now, let me take some scripture. Okay. In Ephesians chapter 3, okay, give us, you know, a understanding of how important the impact of understanding God's unconditional love on us. Okay. You know, remember, love is not the way, don't interpret that word as the way the world has it. Love has to do with valuing, caring for, waiting to, wanting to bless, forgiving, every of those things there. And that's the most important thing that, you know, establish our relationship with God. When we understand that, he cares for us and he wants to bless us. And he's blessing us only in one way. Not because we beg, not because we try to earn it. You know, the very moment when you try to earn God's blessing, you're not going to get them. Because you are operating according to dead works instead of good works. The good works are the one you do because you love God, not to get things from him, not to make him change his way, to force him to act in your favor. Are you following me? I mean, this is very important because that frees us from being legalistic and religious and establish the proper relationship between us and God. Now, let me go down here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says, that Christ may dwell in you, in your heart, through faith. It doesn't say that Christ may dwell in you through your works. You don't get closer to God by doing good works. What you do is you see, oh, see how good I am. I did this and I went to church at night. I do all this other stuff. Oh, see, I'm really good. Now God has to bless me. And he's not going to. Because he doesn't bless you according to your works. He blesses you according to your faith. It says Christ dwells in you through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. You see, that faith comes from the love that you have. You know, his love for you and your love for him. That relationship, that ground and roots you in this love and then produces result. See, the faith in what Jesus did. See, Christ may dwell in you. Okay, in the finished work on the cross. Jesus said it is finished. Okay. Faith does not manipulate God to bless you. Okay. God, you don't pull God's arm behind his back to force you to do what you want. Faith, the only thing that faith does is enable you to get what God has already given you and is not manifested physically. Okay. Everything, God is not going to do anything for anybody after Jesus finished his work. Jesus did everything on the cross. He did all the things that he did, and we need to understand what those things are. By his stripes, we were healed. You were healed 2,000 years ago. 1 Peter 2:24. And all the other things are the same. Now, you see, faith by faith, you know, is to receive from God who loves you and wants you to have everything that he has already done for you. Because he has done everything that needed to be done. Jesus said, it is finished. People do not understand the finished work of Jesus. So religion, to make you do, you know, to get things from God, you had to pray them many hours. Why not an hour more? What about more? You had to do everything else. You had to tithe. You had to do the other things. That's bondage. That doesn't work the way God works. No matter what anybody says, the Bible is completely showing that clearly. Let me continue here. We are going to have so many scriptures, I don't think I'm going to even cover half of the topic today. We had to demolish lots of sacred cows today. Because those are the things that keep people in bondage without the ability to receive from God. And there is so much of that in each one of us that we had to really work on that. To first take down all these false altars and put in the true God that we had to worship and connect with. Okay. According to the things, you know, John 4:22-24, you know, God wants to connect with us in spirit and in truth, not in the physical. The physical things that we do are valued or not according to the motivation we have. If we do something to get something from God, you are trying to manipulate God. God does things for you because he loves you, independently of what you do. He saves you when you didn't even care. And you were even an enemy. And nothing, God does not change. You cannot change God's mind by what you do. Only by spiritual things that you do, you have faith in him, because that's the way he established that our relationship to work. Now, if you do the right thing, if you obey the law remains the same. Old Testament, New Testament, nothing has changed, except some things that were just unnecessary. But, you know, the law is the same. The principles are the same. But the law, obeying the law, is the guide for you not to get in trouble, not to allow the enemy to have inroad in you. Because he uses all the time you break the law to try to get in, because he has the right to get in. And there is God coming in to try to help you anyway, you know, as you put your faith in Jesus. Now, okay, let me continue here. Being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be able to be filled with all the fullness of God. See, it doesn't say by the work you do, you're going to be full with the fullness of God. It's by comprehend with all the saints, all the dimension of the God loves for us, so that we may be filled with everything, the whole, filled with all the fullness of God. Do you realize what that means practically? All the fullness of God available to us through His love. Didn't say by studying the Bible 20 hours a day or praying so much time. Now, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't be study the Bible. I don't say that you shouldn't do. That's good, because that is going to provide information so that you don't make stupid mistakes. And you don't give the devil the chance to take advantage of you. Okay. You do the right things, and you're going to get rewards at the end. But not now. Now, let me continue. So, the final result of knowing and understanding the love of God is for us, and we are going to have the fullness of God. That means, you know, we are going to have what? Trusting Him is faith. Trusting in God is really loving Him. And by loving Him, what we do is we get all the blessings. Because everything that God has done, which is God's grace for us, we receive by faith. Ephesians 2:8. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you think otherwise, okay, you're not going to get anywhere, and you're going to be just religious and doing all the things and says, why doesn't it work? It's because you are not working it out the way God planned. God doesn't want you to mess up and get proud about the things you do, because that kills your faith. Now, okay, that's the problem with much of the teaching that are going on today. I mean, you need to receive something from God. Well, you better fast and pray and spend time and try to get this stuff. Is wrong fasting and praying? Absolutely not. You need to do that. But better watch the way you pray. Because if you pray not in alignment with what the Word of God says, it's going to be more damage to you than anything else. Because it's going to keep you in bondage. See, it's your spiritual position that counts. Okay. You know, there are so many wrong teachings today that most of the believers accept. You know, like, for example, God put sickness on you just to try to teach you something. That's completely unscriptural. Well, sometimes, you know, get some of your family member to get sick so that you learn a lesson or so you get your attention. Oh, sometimes you get your attention because you know that you need help. But that does not work. The God did it, is the enemy did it. That's completely untrue. That's completely demonic doctrine. And most believers believe those things. That's why the church is powerless. And we had to learn not to fall into that kind of thinking, because otherwise we are going to be stuck. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus is the only way for us to get closer to God. This is why he came. This is why before there were not many people in the Old Testament that were really close to God. And even those that were close to God, they missed it over and over again. And even if we get born again, we keep missing it every day. And if you missing God becomes an element for you to feel separated from God, you are going to be in trouble because you are never going to be able to get through that. In John chapter 4, verse 23, says, "But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay. Worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not by the actions that you do. You see, worship actually means, you know, can be translated kiss the hand or adore or have reverence. You know, that's the way we connect with God. We connect with God not through the ceremonial, not through the things that we do physically. In the connection with God, God is a spirit. You cannot connect with a God in the things that you do physically. You have to connect in the spiritual dimension. You have to align up with him in the way he expects you to do. Okay? And so that is where spirit and truth become critical. And this is what he wants. That's the only way to get in touch with him. That's what Jesus did. He didn't get to God by or connect with God or be, you know, developing his relationship with God through doing things physically. Well, how did he do it? From when he was very young. He was in the Word. And the Word is became part of him. And the Word was controlling him. And the Word was living in him. He became the Word made flesh. And that is a spiritual thing that influences his spirit, influences his attitude, influences his heart. Okay. So, we must connect with God to get anywhere spiritually. Our prayers are no more effective if we go around screaming and yelling. Our prayers are no more effective if we say things that don't line up with the Word of God. Our prayer, effectiveness of our prayer doesn't depend how much time we spend in it. It depends on the position of our heart. One word that you really mean, you open to God, is more than 10 hours of prayer begging God for things he already done for you. You see, practically 10 hours. And you get more results. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus said, told us very clearly that. Okay. And his disciples didn't get it. And they were here with him all the time. John 14, 6 says, Jesus said to him, you know, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay. So here he's saying, you know, through Jesus, okay, through looking at him. See, we are physical beings trained to operate according to our senses. Okay? So our training, our operation, the way we work is up to our senses until we learn to get into the spiritual dimension. And we, you know, and that's going to happen only when we are born again. But he came to show us how somebody that is born again function and operate, connecting with the spiritual dimension. And see the impact of that connection in the physical world. The way it determines the situations and the things that are taking place physically. You know, the miracles that Jesus did make no sense whatsoever. Physically only. It shows that there is a dimension there that is a spiritual dimension that functions in a different basis, that it doesn't operate according to the physical thing, because if you go, everybody else around the person operating in the physical thing couldn't get the same result. So he was connected with something that was making him able to do those things that you did. So he was showing us that there is that connection that we have to establish, that way to live, that way to operate, which is faith. But anyway, we'll show later. Okay. So that, you know, shows us that the way we see things is the way we learn to see something that we don't see, which is the truth. The reality that is there in the physical world, the spiritual world, that is brought down to the physical, that is communicated, that is transferred from this physical, spiritual dimension to the physical dimension. So we find the truth. And he said himself, you know, John 8, 31 and 32, you know, shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Said, make you free. Okay, so when you know the truth and you bring the truth into the reality of this world, then you get freedom. No bondage. Okay. Now, and the life. See, one of the things that you have when you start connecting with this spiritual dimension, that you can get the life of God inside you, not just natural life that you had before. And the natural life that you had before is limited to the things of the world. But when you get the life of God inside you, then we are on a different scale of operation. You can see the difference in the life that Jesus had and everybody else had around him. And his disciples were with him, and so he passed on, delegated to them the ability to do some things in the spiritual, even if their understanding was limited. So what happened? Okay, it's happened that, you know, as we look at him, he becomes the way. We get the full and the spiritual understanding of what's going on behind. We get some experiential knowledge ourselves by applying the same principles to ourselves. And finally, you know, we develop what? We develop a gratefulness because we see the goodness of God toward us, appreciation for his love and trust and love for him, which actually is faith. See, the final result of that connection with Jesus, grasping the reality of what he was representing and incorporating in his life, developed faith in us because we start receiving, opening up. The eyes of our heart are open. And we start grasping that and learning from him to bring him from, because the spiritual to the physical the way he did. That is the knowledge of him that talks about in many places, you know, like First Peter and so on. Praise the Lord. You know, let's see the impact of just this sentence on the disciples and see how blind they were. Verse 7, John 14, 7. You know, it said here, if you had known me, you would have known the Father, my Father, also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. You know, he said, well, now you see me, you have seen the Father. You know the Father. From now on, you're going to know. Well, is that what really took place? Okay, the real is ginosko, you know, really, you know, to know, to experience God's love for us. Okay? Now, Philip, verse 8, said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It is sufficient for us. Hello? The guy has just finished saying, you know, you see me, you see the Father. Show us the Father. You see the blindness and the inability even to hear what was said in their ears, to be able to transform and apply properly. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? See, I worked supernaturally all this time in front of you. And you know, I said the Father and me are one. Who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? See, this is the way we learn to see God, the way he operates, the way he functions. He was going there, healing everybody. And he was healing prostitutes and tax collectors more than the Pharisees. Okay. And he had no compassion for the Pharisees. He was just ticked off by the religious people. Now, see, so we can learn to see the Father by looking, by reading the scriptures, reading the gospel, seeing the way Jesus functions. And we should learn how to understand the way God works by looking at Jesus, the way he dealt with people. Because God is going to deal with us the same way as Jesus dealt with people around him. And then we should learn to develop some love, some gratitude, some faith, some ability to receive from God the Father the same thing that people could receive from Jesus. See, having faith in Jesus, okay, is the same thing as loving Jesus and loving the Father. Because that's what all the message that he had was. Now, continuing the following verse. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but it's not there in the Bible. You know, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So you see, he's putting together two things. The words that he says and the works that you see. And he makes them the same. See, his words produces his works. The way he thought produces the result. Believing, okay, in me, is actually the word there is pistewo, which actually means a faith. You believe in me, believe what you see me doing. Okay. So the word that Jesus did connect the spiritual dimension with the physical dimension to transform the spiritual things that were there into the physical. Praise the Lord. The following verse says, you know, believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe for the sake of the works themselves. See, if you cannot believe what I say about spiritual things, look at the result. And because of the results I produce, you better believe me when I say something. Okay? This, okay, shows and talks about the unity that Jesus had with the Father, that is, you know, repeated and expanded in John chapter 17, okay, and the whole unity that God and Jesus pray for us to have with the Father, so that with him, so that we can function the same way. Okay. Praise the Lord. So receiving from God anything, salvation, healing, blessings, help, revelation, everything function exactly the same way, by faith. By loving Him and trusting Him that He is going to do it and going to help us and He's going to direct us. If we are there thinking, I don't know, maybe, is He God, is God, is somebody, you know, you're wasting your time. You're playing game. You're not really trusting anything. God wouldn't give you information. See, if your desire make you hear something, that's a different story. It's not you. God cares about you. So, going to, you know, receiving the connection between you and Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 says, and following, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. Now we have to understand, the confess there is homologeo, that means, you know, that you have the same thought, the same idea, the same principles, you know, living by understanding. So there is alignment between what the Word says and what you are confessing, what you are saying, the position you have. So it says, when you are in that position, okay, that you know that Jesus was not just a man, but was supernaturally connected with God, and the things He did was, you know, God shown to us, then, you know, we are going to be, you know, God is going to be also in us. Why? Because we connect with Jesus. And not only that, but this God is going to be with us, and we also are in Him. Because, you know, spiritually, when two are together, they become one. If you are in the Lord, you are one spirit with Him. That's what the Word says. Okay. Now, verse 16, the following verse. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. For God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So there has to be this love relationship. It's not a religious relationship. It's not a religious, a performance-based relationship. It's a love-based relationship that we have with him. Okay. So we have known him and believing in him, Jesus, you know, and the love that God has for us, then, you know, because God is love. The understanding that God is love, you know, probably the most important characteristics of God is that God is love. Because he created everything out of love, including us. And he knew exactly the way we will mess it up. And he gave free, you know, choice to us, free will to us. We can choose, and he will respect your choices. He will not push you around to make him obey him. Now, the thing that's going to happen, if you believe and you do and you love him, you're going to do the things that he are pleasing him, and you're going to be blessed. Today, I put it before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your children may live. See, but that's the way. He didn't make robot. He didn't determine everything. See, that's what makes it, that's the decision that makes a difference between having a connection with God or not. Okay? So, okay. Now the thing is, says, you know, he who abides in love and abides in God, and God in him. You know, the word abides there, actually the tense used in that scripture, you know, is, you know, in continue in union with God and with him with love. You stay in God, in love, and you stay in the love of God, and you are going to be guided there. It's ongoing things. It's ongoing relationship. It's not, well, you know, I'm going to pray 1 hour a day. And it's time to start. 1 hour, okay, now I can go watch TV. That's not love. You know, I mean, I have a relationship with your spouse or your people, you know. Oh, wait a minute. You know, okay. Let's go for a date. It's, you know, Tuesday morning, and it's sunny, you know. And, well, now an hour has passed. I'm dead to go to work. You know, that's not a relationship. Are you following me? I mean, much religious activity and prayer time that people do is done that way. Or Bible reading is done that way. Paul was talking about, you know, praying continually. He's not praying continually, doesn't mean you're there kneeling down and doing things. Mary, there is that ongoing communication that is the same communication that you have with somebody that you love and is living together with that person. And you are not there, you know. Any time is good to communicate. Any time you're listening to them. Anytime you are open to connect. And God is always open to connect with you. He's connecting with you most of the time in a way that when you are not thinking about it, and that's when the time is giving you revelation, because you're not getting in the way with your thinking. Of your ideas. Are you following what I'm saying? See, this is a spiritual relationship. It's not 8-to-5 relationship like your job. It's not 6-to-7 more in the morning because you have to wake up earlier to meet with God. Don't even need to wake up early. If you stay with Him all day, you know, it's much better than that hour that you are going to be praying continuous repetition of the same stuff. He gets bored just as much as you get bored. I mean, Jesus prayed, was really clear about that. He said it himself. I didn't get the idea myself. Just read the Bible. What everything I'm telling you is just in the Bible and is there, and we had to pull it out from all the religious ideas that we have been exposed throughout our life that keep us in bondage instead of allowing us to connect with God. And it's not easy. Now, continue here, though. Verse 17, John, 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so we are in this world. So you see, when this love is grown within us, it has been perfected, what happens, you know, that we end up having boldness in our relationship. We don't go anymore to God afraid that He's going to get us because yesterday we had a bad thought. Or because today we did something wrong. We deal with us ourselves. He deal with us in our relationship with Jesus. We repent, we turn around, says, no, Lord, thank you for Holy Spirit. Thank you for drawing my attention to that. Instead of, oh, ouch, ooh, so bad. I can get the blessing now. That's not the issue. We have boldness in the day of judgment. And the day of judgment is going to be a major one at the end. But we are not going to be judged at that time because Jesus paid for all our sins that we have brought to Him. The one we don't know, He takes care of that too. The point is, okay, that today, the way we walk, Okay, because as he is, so are we in this world. We walk the same way as Jesus walked, in that relationship in which he ministered to us. He guided us day by day. And we actually learn more and more to do that as we this relationship of love is perfected, not as we try to clean up our house. Now, our house is going to get clean. Okay? And it's going to stay clean. Because it's not our work, it's his work. And everything he does is perfect. Are you following that? Well, it doesn't stop there. There is more. The following verses, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Hallelujah. If you have fear, any type of fear of God, fear of man, fear of a future, fear of sickness, fear of disease, fear of anybody. It says here, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. You start loving God. You start trusting God. You start having no fear whatsoever. And if there is fear, you know it's not from God. You know that there is something. I mean, how do you overcome fear? Very simple. Okay. Said it here. Perfect love casts out fear. You better love more. Get closer to God the right way. Know more about him. Know how much he loves you. Experience the love. See, the more you experience the love of God for you in terms of seeing how much he blesses you, then the more you're going to have confidence in that love, and you have more confidence in God, and so all the fears are going to drop off. Praise the Lord. Says God, for in because fear involves torment. You know, I show you something here. Let me finish this verse first. All right. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, one way to evangelize that is used very often, and it's very effective, is really against anything that God says. What I mean with that? You know, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to go to hell. Sorry, that's manipulation. Now, you see, manipulation sometimes works too, because people are afraid. But what you do is you operate in that person in fear. That's not love. And that's not going to produce the love that you have. They're going to do that because they're going to get the benefit. You see, that action that they did in accepting the Lord actually is not worshiping the Lord at all. They are worshiping themselves. They are caring about themselves instead of loving. You know, loving love, God has nothing to do with what happens to you. People died in the New Testament, you know, because they loved God and he didn't care. And they became martyrs. But the love of God sustained them and gave them victory. Somebody that is saved that way is not going to die for God. I assure you. Because the motivation there is the wrong motivation. And God judges things according to our motive, not according to what we do. So that is trying to manipulate people in accepting God instead of showing them, you know, what says in Romans? The goodness of God leads to repentance, not the fact you're going to go to hell, lead to repentance. That is ungodly repentance. Now, hopefully, these people that have been brought to the Lord that way, sometime they realize that God is not that way, that God is a good God, and so that they change their mind. But if they operate that way yet, I wonder if they're even saved. Doesn't match the scripture what I'm saying? See, God doesn't change. God is always the same. God loves us. Hallelujah. And we have to understand how to connect with Him the way He wants us to connect with Him. I mean, you know, if you are a parent and your children, you know, rigid, strong, you know, they may even obey you. But as soon as you turn your back, they're going to do what they want. But if you establish a love relationship with them and they understand why you want to do them to do the right thing, they're going to do it even if you go into somewhere else. And that shows the way it is with us in our relationship with God. You know, the whole thing changes, you know, is completed there with the following verse. We love Him because He first loved us. Are you getting anything on this? Do you think what I'm saying is important and is often misrepresented? They push us around in ways in which we work hard and get nowhere instead of, you know, making it easy and for us to get some places. God doesn't want to make our life difficult. God wants to bless us. Well, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Our soul is going to prosper when we start loving God, when we start having a relationship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth, I mean, that means that our motivation in connecting with God is the right motivation, the motivation He wants. He wants love from us. He created us so that we love Him, not just that we. Otherwise, we would have created robots. And then we would have got people that are going to do exactly what He wants. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. I mean, even just starting at the beginning, and there is really so much, you know, actually the whole Bible has to do about the love of God. Everything is a love story. And we mess it up with religion. Okay, that's too bad. Okay. See, one of the things we have to understand, that God is for us, not against us. He's not trying to get us. God wants to help us and wants to bless us. You know, John 10:10. The thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. I came that you may have life more abundantly. And when it talks about life more abundantly, I mean, it's all the blessing that He can give you in terms of a relationship with Him, you know, in which He is really looking after you. Okay? Praise the Lord. See, this is Romans 8:31 says, well, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? See, this is where, you know, the fear of God, the fear of God, the negative fear of God, to the fact that we, you know, the one that Adam had, Cain had, and we often have. You know, we make a mistake and we go run away. No, we have to do the opposite. I miss it. We just run to Him to be helped. And He's there to pick us up like the father or the prodigal son. That seems to me is a good God. That's where we are going to have faith in what He said for us. Because if He said it, that means He meant it. Okay. That's where we develop gratitude toward Him. Many psalms, many places is reflected. You can see, you know, other time when people are praying to God, you know, they start praising Him and thanking Him because of the things He has done for them. Psalm 100, you know, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his court with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations. That's what makes all the difference. Praise the Lord. I think I should close for today. Did you get anything today? See, that, you know, is opening up to that make all the difference in our walk. See, then we can actually walk in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. You know, walk in the Spirit, we have no condemnation. So, when walking in the Spirit, you're not doing anything wrong. You cannot do anything wrong. You are going to always do something wrong. Sometimes you don't know it, and you jump into things, and you find yourself, oh, God, I shouldn't have done it. So, that's not going to separate you from God, because what can separate us from God? When you start feeling that way, that God is there for you, that he loves you, that you can trust him, you are starting to get perfected in love. And the more you are perfected in love, the more you are going to be able to want to do the right thing. Because you know that if he said it, it's going to be good for you. And you don't do anymore for manipulation or compel because you're pushed to do it. You do it because you want. You do it with your heart. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Let's, if you want prayer for that, if you have, you know, especially if you have fear, then, you know, to break that fear, if you want to join faith with somebody else, I can pray with you. But otherwise, we can pray generally and you can receive it that way. But if you want personal prayer, I'm going to pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good God. Everybody says God is good. But, you know, do they really believe it in terms of practically, in terms of in reality, in their experience? So just, Lord, we come to you just in, you know, humbly coming before you, Lord. So, Lord, that we are opening our heart to you. Are now, Lord, to realize, Lord, the way we often think that does not reflect who you are like. Lord, that we may discover more and more of your love for us. That as we come to realize how much you care and you love for us, how much we can trust you, how much we can, you know, learn from what the way Jesus acted, the way Jesus operated, Lord, the way Jesus did for others, Lord, how you are, so that we can see, Lord, what we cannot see with our eyes. And we can understand what, Lord, we cannot understand with a heart that is guided by our physical senses. Help us, Lord, to overcome the physical indoctrination that we had, and to learn to walk with you, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to love you, Lord, for who you are, the way you are with toward us, so that we can be, Lord, responding to the love in a way that is pleasing to you, Lord, and that we can grow into the love, because this is your desire, and this is also ours. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Lord, quicken our mind and our heart. Give us eyes to see and ear to hear to receive everything you have done for us, so that we may bless you and please you and glorify you and glorify Jesus for what he done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.